Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Family Gamers. This is episode number 14, yay. And we are stuffed
full of games.
Stuffed full of games. We had a long Thanksgiving weekend. You know, I love the Thanksgiving holiday because it's a Thursday holiday, so it means you get the 4-day weekend.
Yeah.
That's the best.
But it meant that we had lots of time to play games with our family. We still had our regular Friday night gaming group come over.
Yep. Well, we actually had a super long weekend because we did Thanksgiving on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Which basically just messed up the rest of the week.
I was so confused all week long at what day it was.
But yeah, man, we played a lot of games. It was awesome.
Yes.
It was a good weekend.
It was great.
We had a really, really good time.
And even though we played a lot of board games, you still managed to play a whole bunch of Fallout 2. I mean, Fallout 4 as well.
I still managed to play a lot of Fallout 4. It's true.
Yeah.
I actually could have played more Fallout 4.
True.
But I got a fair amount in.
But you did also have to, like, work and stuff.
Yeah. Lame. Anyway. So let's talk about some of the stuff that we played. We played some stuff that we played before because we had, you know, some new people
to show it to.
So we played more of Santa's Little Helpers in the Ice Cube Jam.
Yep, that was fun.
Mm-hmm. And then we played the Portal game made by, it was a partnership between Cryptozoic and Valve.
Yep.
So they made a game based on the Portal IP. It was a weird game.
I love the subtitle of the Portal board game.
The Uncooperative Cake Acquisition Game.
Yes. Because it's being, you know, obtuse about it, but it's exactly the point of the game. Also based off the original Portal game that supposedly your whole goal of the game is to get to the end and get the cake.
I promise in the next room there will be cake.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was a weird game.
It was a really neat mechanic, mm-hmm. That you're constantly moving the pieces that actually make up the board, and you don't really care too much if your pawns die off or not, because you can get new pawns. But you really care about if you get any cake as a reward. You have to keep your cake on the board and keep it from falling off the end.
The board is basically made up of three rows of these cells that kind of peel off one end and get added to the other end. And
yeah.
So it's almost like you're on a treadmill kind
of. It's like a conveyor belt sort of thing, yeah.
Conveyor belt of incineration and death.
Death.
That was a pretty nutso game. We also played Machikoro,
yes.
Which is a game that I think we've talked about on the show before.
Yep.
Big fan of that game. Lots of, you know, multi-age gaming with a game like Machikoro because it's pretty easy to understand. There's a little bit of strategy involved. I think you won because you usually win.
Yeah, you know.
But
I'm pretty good at the game.
Yep, I like that game.
The kids played a bunch of classic card games with their grandmother because she brought a little book down with her.
This is when I was working, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With it, but this little booklet had descriptions of all these classic "quote unquote" children's card games. So they learned how to play Old Maid. They played a lot of Go Fish. They played Crazy Eights, which is basically the forerunner to Uno. Yeah. Well, you know what? You do that. You yawn like that, but it reminded me that games like Old Maid and Go Fish and Memory are really good for sort of that introductory level of gaming, particularly card games, because I think our 4-year-old would have done a better job with cards that were special made for those kind of games. Mm-hmm. He got a little confused by the face cards that, you know, like in one game you had to make sets of four and they could be either the same suit or the same number, which gets real confusing real fast.
If you're four.
If you're four. But I mean, they all had fun with that, which was nice. On the flip side of things,
From old school to new school.
To completely new school. Well, mostly new school. Your sister brought down this cool kit thing that she borrowed from school, I guess.
From a friend of hers. It's called a Makey Makey.
Yeah.
So this thing, basically, it's a circuit board with, I mean, it must have a little controller in it somewhere.
Yeah.
Plugged into a computer with USB, And what it enables you to do is you have a bunch of banana clips and little prongs and stuff, and you can basically turn anything into a controller.
Anything that's conductive can become parts of your controller.
And it's even things you wouldn't think of, like Play-Doh.
Yep.
Is a valid option. So
banana.
Banana is a, you know, banana.
Banana. Yeah, they destroyed a banana plant with that. It was
as long as
all over the place.
You clip the ground to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not to like your shirt, but like
to your actual
self.
Yeah.
And then there's basically it looked like a regular NES controller, more or less.
More or less.
On one side. Yeah. And so there was the up, down, left, right, select, start, A and B. And then you would clip these banana clips or whatever onto each one of
there were little leads that went into each of those slots. Yeah,
more or less. And then you just clip the other end of it to like whatever
you were gonna touch to be the controller.
The coolest one I think was when my sister was drawing on a piece of paper, and
yes, she drew a big basically a big pool of graphite.
Mm-hmm.
And clipped the banana clip to one part of the drawing. Mm-hmm. And then you could touch
anywhere on the drawing,
sort of anywhere. I mean, it had to be fairly close.
The connectivity was, you know, sort of poor, but
yeah.
But it was pretty. And then there were sheets of aluminum foil on the floor that they could step on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really cool little playful toy.
Yeah.
It's only like $50.
Yeah. A side effect to them playing with this is they learned how to play Tetris.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
funny. Was one of the last games she brought up for them to try.
That's cool.
So it was fun trying to see them wrap their heads around that.
But yeah, if you flip that thing over, it had most of the letter keys on the back.
Yeah.
So very, very cool. Check those things out. If you have very like kind of creative, experimental kids, Makey Makey, M-A-K-E-Y space M-A-K-E-Y.
Yep. What else we got? In addition to playing the Portal game twice, we also played Power Grid.
Again. I love that game.
Which was awesome.
That game is a great game. Power Grid is a fantastic game where you are building your power grid across, in the base game, it's either the United States or Germany.
Yeah.
There's a ton of extra maps.
We had a lot of fun with that. Mm-hmm. As a six-player game. My mom kind of stared at us and like, you realize you've been playing for 3.5 hours, right?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it.
It really doesn't.
Flies by.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, a game like Power Grid, you can really be prone to analysis paralysis.
A little bit.
You know, you have to be careful to measure your money so that you don't overspend on a power plant.
Mm-hmm.
And then underspend on resources or overspend on resources and then you can't buy cities. And it's just...
Yep.
You know, it's a very, very careful balancing act that has to happen.
And I can say that this time around, I kind of failed at that balancing act.
I almost won.
The other two times we played this game, I came in either first or second. And this time I was, I think I was dead last.
I ended up in third place because our friend Laura jumped out into the front.
Yeah, that was great. At the very end, she's like, "And let me build four cities."
Yeah,
and then somebody else ended the game, and she's like, "Oh, I was super close to winning, wasn't I?"
Yeah,
it was
ridiculous.
Great.
It was ridiculous, but so that game is awesome. We also for the Mommy Gamers, we checked out some DVDs.
Yep, some DVDs and a iOS app.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's called Owligories.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a Christian cartoon called VeggieTales, which has been around for a long time. Yep.
Yep.
And basically, this is something very similar, but with owls instead of vegetables.
Well, and they've got a very specific focus, which is they say they're teaching the nature of God through allegories of things in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, like, look at the sun, and here are some things we know about the sun, and here are some things that the sun can remind us about God.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Yep, stuff like that. So
it's cute.
It's a cute little thing. I think that it's... I think it's a lot more like early VeggieTales than later VeggieTales.
Yeah.
But it's fine so far.
As someone who grew up in a Christian household, it also definitely harkens back to some of the good old days / bad old days of Christian kids programming. That there are times it kind of beats you over the head.
Well, I didn't grow up with it, so.
But they did it in a pretty cute way. I mean, I was all right with it.
So What did Ash think of the app?
He enjoyed the app, but it has definitely not had nearly as much development as the DVDs, and so he got frustrated. He's like, there are all these rooms, but it won't let me go into any of the rooms except for this one room. And so after playing around with it for about 15 minutes, he was like, I'm done. There's nothing else I can do here.
Was it him or was it the app?
It was the app. I mean, he pretty exhaustively did everything that was available to him. Okay. And then he was like,
is it like a pay-to-play kind of thing? Or?
No, it's just they're not done developing.
Oh, they just put it out. It's just not done yet.
Well, like I said, that I gave the example of the sun. So each episode has a theme. So far, there are 4 episodes out there.
Okay.
We have the DVD with 3. Mm-hmm. And the app really just has the first episode. And it has sort of these slots for 3 or 4 more episodes.
Okay.
But there's nothing there.
Okay. Presumably you pay for those. Like you get the first one for free.
Or something. Yeah.
I don't know. But, well, I mean, I know it is something that's kind of just starting out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's pretty cute. If you were into VeggieTales back in the day, like, it's worth trying out. I mean, there was some humor that made the adults laugh. It wasn't, you know,
mm-hmm.
intolerable suffering or anything like
no,
that.
No, it was nice. Let's see what we got anything else?
So we got some games in from Game Right because we're doing a fundraiser that involves Game Right games, and there were a few in there that we hadn't played yet. So we tried out a game called Dweebies.
That was a cute game.
That game was very cute. Dweebies is basically a card game where you play the cards in. They have to be. You just put cards down face up, and they have to be connected to each other. It's kind of like Go, actually.
Yeah.
The Dweebies are these characters who are really passionate about their jobs. So they're just these little, like, goofy-looking monsters that might be doctors or football players.
Or surfers
or whatever.
Anything, yeah.
And then if you put down a character that is the same as the character on the other end of a straight line, then you can collect all of those.
In that line,
And they become, you know, points for you. So it's a cute game, very easy to understand, very, very approachable.
Yep.
You know, kids would laugh at it.
Yep.
It was a good time. It was fun.
It's another one of those, like, easy to learn, hard to master sort of.
Yeah, but I feel like it's just.
There's a lot of chance involved, too, though.
You know, that's the kind of game where the joy is in the journey.
Yeah.
So.
It was a fun game to play. Not really about the winning.
So what do you think? Anything else? Anything else you got for me? Come on. Give it to me.
The kids played another game with their grandma. This is one that they suggested to her. It is a memory game called Bon Bons.
Okay, we've had that for a while.
We've had that for a couple of years
I picked that game up on a whim at some point somewhere. I don't remember where I might have been.
It's a nice twist on your classic memory game in that you have sort of the center area with your typical square memory style cards.
Okay.
But then you personally have 5 little circle cards in front of you, and you don't know what they are either. And your goal is to try to match up all the cards all the little circles that you have with stuff that's out in the middle of
them. So there's only one of each kind of candy in the middle of the board.
Yes. There's a few special cards that actually get repeated in the middle of the board.
Oh, like the coins and the wrappers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Special things.
Yeah. But the regular candies, there's one in the circle deck and one in the square deck.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Actually hate that game so much.
If you're going to play a memory game, it's a different little twist on it.
I guess.
My only problem with it is it gets way more competitive than your typical memory game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because the board's not shrinking as you go along?
In part.
I mean, I guess the board is shrinking, it's just slow.
Well, and because you as a player have, like, specific goals, so it doesn't really help you to say, oh, hey, here's this one over here, but it's not in my hand that is gradually being revealed, too, so. I think that's it. I think that's a plenty long
list. Is that all we did? I went bowling yesterday.
Yeah, that's a game.
It's a game. All right, well, that's a lot of game, and I have a cold, so we're going to take a break, and I'm going to cough and die and come back, and then we're actually going to talk about a little bit of a twist this week. So there's still some travel going on because it's still the holiday season, so we're going to talk about the kinds of things to look for in a game if you're looking to introduce your family, either immediate or extended, to board gaming as a hobby.
Yeah.
So we'll take a look at that in a couple of minutes.
All right. And we're back.
I'm alive. Oh, you should have heard it. It was bad. It was bad news.
Yeah.
But Do I sound stuffed up? I probably sound.
You're very stuffed up.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. So happy to be here. No. All right.
So let's talk about games for non-gamers.
Yeah, and I think that for us, you know, this is actually grandma is. You know,
grandma,
your mom.
Grandma, my mom. Yeah, yeah.
Is really the one that, you know, we look at and say, well, if we're going to bring her in on the gaming.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things that we sort of look at to figure out if a game is something that she'll be able to cope with.
I will say every once in a while, we also have kid visitors.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are big gamers and some are not. And so that will. If they're big gamers, I'll let the kids pick whatever they think they can handle.
Sure.
But if the other kid is somebody who's just like, I don't know about any of these games, I'll try to direct our kids towards some stuff that might be a little easier to,
sure, that makes
to
sense.
Get. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, when we look at games that we're going to be presenting to people, one of the first questions that is asked, right or wrong, is how long is this game going to take? And
yeah.
So unless you can really hit a home run with some of the other stuff that we'll talk about, the reality, whether we like it or not, is that a shorter is better.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we say shorter, pretty much under half an hour is going to be
it's going to be the sweet spot.
Game. That's going to be the sweet spot, 20 to 30 minutes. It's not that much of a commitment, you know, it's a game.
Just give it a try.
If you can't cope, by the time you figure out that you can't cope, you're already, you know, a third
halfway
of the way
through
finished
the game.
With it,
yeah.
Or halfway
yeah.
done. So, in general, and again, these are generalizations,
yes.
A shorter game is going to be a better game.
In that context, I mentioned earlier that like we played Power Grid and my mom just kind of looked on and like, how are you guys even doing this? Because she is certainly, she has no problem with long games in theory. She loves Monopoly. She loves Scrabble.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those can drag quite a bit. But she doesn't have the patience for learning the kind of rules that a long game normally involves.
Right. And so that's why that sort of becomes a problem. The next thing that we kind of looked at was a game that has relatively simple rules.
Yes.
Doesn't necessarily mean the strategy is basic or the strategy is simple, but the rules of the game are straightforward.
Yeah.
And we mentioned it earlier, but a game that really fits both of these, a shorter game with simple rules, is Santa's Little Helper's NES Cube Jam.
It's one of the reasons why I keep pulling it out lately, mm-hmm. aside from the fact that it's, you know, seasonally appropriate.
Right.
It's really quick to teach,
mm-hmm.
and people, they get the concept after, you know, after 5 minutes, if that. There's really only three rules, more or less. So it really doesn't take too much to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of other games that fit that shorter and simpler as well.
I think of a game like even Pyraminx would be a great example of something that's relatively short.
Oh, yeah.
The rules are pretty basic. And, you know, surprise, surprise, your mom likes it.
Yeah, I was going to say she's played it with us a few times now and actually asked if she could borrow our copy to bring home with her for a couple of weeks until Christmas.
Wait, did you let her borrow it?
Yes.
Oh, see, I thought we had some more room on the game shelf. I was going to go pick something up.
No, I let her borrow it so she could show her gamey friend.
So I have to leave the space there? I can't fill it with something?
Yes.
And then, dang it! On Cyber Monday, no less. Oh! Anyway. The third thing that we came up with, and this really, I mean, we're very much in a renaissance of board games. There's mm-hmm. a lot going on with board games these days, and it's really remarkable. I mean, the sales that Target was just having on board games was huge. The Kickstarter element to
yeah.
board games with independent games and these kinds of things is immense. Every meaningful media franchise is being represented in the analog board game space or in the mixed media space.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot less difficult now than it used to be to find a game that is thematically similar or thematically familiar
mm-hmm.
To something that somebody might like. So the example that I'm going to give, and I haven't even played the game, but the Game of Thrones board game.
Mm. If you had somebody really, really into Game of Thrones, you could kind of pull them in through something like that.
But here's the thing. That game breaks the first two rules. It's not a short game, and it is not a simple game.
Yeah.
But if somebody is in love with that universe, then that's going to be the game. Or I even think of, I bought my brother the Battlestar Galactica game because he loves Battlestar Galactica.
See, I was thinking, you also see this in the, I'm not recommending this at all, but in the plethora of themed Monopoly games out there.
Well, yeah, there's themed Monopoly, themed Clue. I mean, they theme everything. They'll theme any game.
But Monopoly is the one where there's like dozens and dozens of themed versions out there because everybody knows Monopoly and it's not simple and it's not short, but people will still pick it up and play it if it's got a different theme to it.
And that's why there's a 66% divorce rate in America. You're gonna...
However, going off our earlier theme plus familiarity, there's an awesome little card game called Monopoly Deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you introduced me to Monopoly Deal.
Yes. I was introduced to Monopoly Deal by a mom friend who's not a big gamer, but her husband and some of her kids are.
I almost think you talked about it on the show once.
I may have. But I was really impressed that this was a game that had some of the same cutthroat feel as Monopoly, but we could play it in 5 to 10 minutes while making sure the toddler didn't eat anything he wasn't supposed to. So I highly recommend that as a good kind of gateway away from games like Monopoly, also known as Monotony, and into some more interesting, fast-paced gaming.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, another kind of approach to this idea of familiarity or thematically appropriate games is there's a lot of games that are, like, really beautiful, and it's just fun to watch, to look at and to see, you know, what's going on. And I think of a game like Takedo, which is just this,
I mean,
the premise of the game is that you are travelers in the, you know, the Japanese countryside, mm-hmm. and you're just kind of traveling along. But over the course of the game, you're putting these like beautiful paintings together, and that's how you're scoring, and you're doing all these things. And it's just gorgeous. Like, I bought that game because it was beautiful. And then on the other side, I think of a game like Crossmaster Arena, or even Takenoko, where the games, Takenoko is a little bit more simple than Crossmaster, but Crossmaster is like cute, so it's super cute. So if you have family that's maybe into anime or something,
they could get into it through that.
Be like, oh, look at these characters, and it's, you know, this very three-dimensional thing where you've got these guys moving around and you're kind of doing this battle.
And Takenoko is pandas. Who doesn't like pandas?
They're eating bamboo.
They're adorable.
How cute is that? So, you know, I mean, they're kinds of games where you can pick up elements that you know that your family might like.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's so many zombie games right now. And, you know, but if...
We're kind of tired of zombie games personally, but if you're going to go somewhere, they love The Walking Dead or they love other zombie-themed stuff, The Evil Dead.
Look, Evil Dead stands on its own.
I know.
Dead. Like,
but you could totally bring over, like, zombie dice. Mm-hmm. And be like, hey, we're gonna pretend we're zombies.
Well, but Zombie Dice, I mean, that game hits. It's short. It's simple. I mean, that game hits all of the right notes.
It does.
It's definitely a good option. I'm actually gonna skip one on here. We'll go back to it.
Sure.
But another great thing is cooperative games, because a lot of times people, you know, they don't want to be cutthroat, or it's like, oh, well, you've played this before, so you know that. I mean, we've heard that a lot. But there's a lot of games that are out now that are cooperative, and so you're sort of teaching the game while you're playing the game, and everybody's kind of working together.
And nobody feels like you're dumbing it down for them, because you're all like working together.
Is, see how the strategy works, and you're helping people without sabotaging yourself.
Yeah.
And I think the two games that made this really, really popular were Forbidden Island.
That's what I was gonna
say. And
then
Pandemic.
Yeah.
Those are the games that definitely have really heavily popularized the genre of the cooperative game. There's actually a new game out. This is brilliant. Called Pandemic Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about this game?
I think so.
So the thing is that the way the game works is it's sort of set up into these monthly scenarios, right? And you can play mid-June or May or whatever. But as you go through the game, you have to physically destroy components of the game.
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing about this.
And so it's actually, there's a series. It actually started with Risk. There was Risk Legacy.
Oh, okay.
And they just came out with Pandemic Legacy. And I think I heard they're doing another one. But, and so you can never play the same
game.
The same way again. And my understanding is that there is an end state where, you know, you have a game that can be played over and over again, but you can't redo everything from the beginning, because I'm on a bunch of board game forums, and this guy posted this picture, and the caption was, "This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do," and it showed a picture of a Pandemic Legacy card ripped in half.
Oh,
you know, just
tough.
But
breathe.
So I mean, but there's something almost really exciting, maybe kind of gets your adrenaline going, where there is a sense of permanence to what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm,
instead of just like, okay, well, we're playing the game, and that's it. You know, it's like when you're playing poker with friends, and then you're playing poker for money.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it feels different. Like, there's a commitment when you're physically changing that game. You really don't want to screw it up.
But that's not something that is going to be as attractive to people who aren't as into gaming.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'm kind of getting a little bit
of a sidetrack,
man. But
Pandemic
games.
Pandemic, if they're up for something more complicated, mm-hmm. while knowing that you're going to kind of guide them through it. Forbidden Island for a little less complex, and Castle Panic if you got some kids mixed in.
Castle Panic is a great game because it's got that medieval theme to it. And to be perfectly honest, the reason why I wanted to jump from talking about zombies to talking about Castle Panic is because they've actually released a game called Dead Panic.
Yes, which is the same idea, except zombie
Castle
themed.
Panic, but themed with zombies.
Yeah.
So there's just so many options mm-hmm. with that thematic stuff and with that cooperative stuff. I mean, if you really want a challenge, there's a game called Shadows Over Camelot.
I was going to mention Shadows Over Camelot, but that's not a good one for newbies.
Well, but it depends. See, here's the thing. It's made by Days of Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And Days of Wonder is very, very good at making approachable games. And the mechanics of Shadows Over Camelot are pretty easy and pretty straightforward. But the game is hard as all get out.
It's so hard. I would not recommend Shadows Over Camelot unless somebody has really started to get into it and says, I really like the cooperative feel, but I want something more challenging.
Mm-hmm. Or they're obsessed with Arthurian Legend.
Maybe then. But even then, they'll probably get depressed that it was so hard and they still didn't win.
Or we stink at that game.
I can't imagine that it's just us stinking. I think it's a really, really hard game.
I mean, but when we beat it, when we won,
everyone cheered. Everyone
were
at the table,
standing up, high fiving each other. It was an epic moment.
It was
when we finished that game. So, but yeah, I mean, those cooperative games are really good because it has, like, the reason why you play games, board games instead of video games, is because it's a more social experience.
Yeah,
and there's something about cooperative games that, you know, it really. Everybody is working together to solve the problem. And
yeah.
It just it does a really good job of uniting people. Not
sure.
Just having fun playing games.
Yeah, yeah,
together,
yeah.
But, you know, really working on the same team.
Well, and to go back to the point we skipped earlier, party games do a lot of the same sort of thing. And mm-hmm. party games, by their nature, are super approachable. They don't require a lot of commitment. You can usually, you know, pick it up and put it down. You know, come in for a hand or two and say, no, this isn't really for me. I'm deal me out. I'm going to go do something else.
And, you know, interesting. I mean, we're talking primarily about board games, but there's actually a lot of really good video games that are party games as well.
Yes.
Right. So yes. Your Guitar Hero and Rock Band are making a comeback. They just mm-hmm. released new games. There's a lot of karaoke games, Karaoke Revolution.
Yep.
Lips.
Yep.
Right.
And then there's the dance games. Yep.
Yep. Or Dance Central or something like that, depending on who's got what system yep. or whatever. But I also think of games like WarioWare.
I was going to say that because like the Mario Party games never really appealed to me, but WarioWare is hilarious.
So WarioWare is a game like Mario Party is a game filled with mini games.
Yes.
Right. Where you get these little like 2 minute games and you kind of play through them and whoever wins. And then there's like an accumulation of points. A game like Fusion Frenzy would be the same way where it's got these mini games. WarioWare is filled with micro games. These are games that
they're 10 like
to 15 seconds long.
Yeah.
And they're usually some ridiculous thing and they've got sort of
a ridiculous task and you have to do something weird and
it's just hilarious. And it's a great example of a game that you can really, you just put the controller down and walk away, come back, pick it up. I mean, it's been on in the corner during parties and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
So, and then on the board game side of things, there's a lot of games that really would be classified as party games. Most well known would be a game like Apples to Apples.
Right. Well, and that honestly, Apples to Apples has made its way from, sort of niche game for gamers to mainstream acceptance. Pretty much everybody knows. Pretty much everybody knows Apples to Apples. And
sure.
And so that actually turns around and gives you a game to build off and say, oh, you know about Apples to Apples. Let's play this other game that's like Apples to Apples.
Right.
Which is super helpful.
Some of our favorite party games are two games that were actually made by the same guy.
Anomia and Duple.
Duple and Anomia. These are games where, you flip over a card, and if your card matches a symbol of somebody else who's already got a face-up card, the two of you have to do something. In Anomia, it's, name
do
something
trivia.
That matches the subject on the other person's card. In Duple, it's come up with a word that's at least five letters long.
That has both letters in it. Yeah.
And there's some variants in there. There's wild cards and stuff like that. But those games are great. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, they are hysterical.
Yes, they are.
But, these are really just some games. As we get into this holiday season, there's a lot of traveling going on. And, we talked about travel games a couple of weeks ago. But some of the stuff, especially some of these games that are really card heavy, like a Duple or an Anomia, are easy to move around, easy to bring places. And it becomes very, very easy to introduce someone to a game where even if they're not a gamer, because there's so much out there, there's so many options.
Yeah.
And it's not the same, Clue, Trouble, Boggle, The Story of Life, blah, blah, blah. There's just, possibilities are endless.
Truly.
That was profound.
I think that's all we got for you this week.
I think so, probably. we have been working with the Kiwi Crate Company over the last couple of weeks, and we just got word of a new deal that they're having. A new deal!
For December,
right. So we had talked about our November Black Friday deal. We posted a couple of videos of unboxing some of the Kiwi Crate product on our YouTube page, which you can get to through our website, thefamilygamers.com. And in the month of December, if you go to their website, and
whose
again,
website?
Kiwi Crate. So you can go to kiwicrate.com, tinkercrate.com. They both work. Or if you just go to thefamilygamers.com and click on the banner on the right side, which is the easiest way to do it. Two promo codes for you, SHOP50 and SUB50. Sub50 will get you 50% off the first month of a subscription if you buy a Crate subscription.
And SHOP50 will still get you 50% off anything in their online store.
Which is awesome. Which is a really good deal.
It's a really good deal.
So definitely check those out. Go to thefamilygamers.com, click on the banner on the right side. It'll bring you right there. And then do all of your shopping.
Hey, Andrew, besides going to thefamilygamers.com, how else can you find us online?
I think we actually probably put more information on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA.
Anywhere else?
You can get us on Twitter, twitter.com/FamilyGamersAA. You can be found at Anitra at thefamilygamers.com.
And you can be found with email at Andrew at thefamilygamers.com.
Please check us out on iTunes. Please subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a review on iTunes. We're slowly getting some more reviews, which is awesome.
Please leave us a review.
They actually help more than you could possibly imagine.
We're going to keep begging because we know we have way more listeners than we have reviews.
Yep, the numbers don't lie. So please go over there, check it out. Hit up our YouTube channel, subscribe to our YouTube channel. The more subscribers we have, the more stuff we can get to show you guys, to give away.
Yeah.
And that's really what it all comes down to, is giving stuff away for free, because it's fun to do that.
It's the best part.
It's super fun. So that's going to be it for us this week. We don't know what's coming up next week, but I'm sure it's going to be exciting.
We'll come up with something good.
It's going to be good.
All right.
All right. So until next time,
play games with your kids and your family and your friends. Are you dying?
Yes.